All right, this is the best time to preach all week. I get to preach second each night, right? After the. All right, well, this afternoon I'm doing something a little bit different from the rest of the week, different from what I usually ever do. And if you would turn in your Bibles to Matthew 6. We'll start there. A few years ago, I guess it was back in 2015. Many of you know we work with a lot of Jamaicans that come up. Actually, right now, they're traveling right now this week. They're traveling up to Washington to work in the cherry harvest and apple harvest. They're very hard workers. We enjoy working with them. Out of the 600 or so that are there, there's probably maybe 30 genuine Christians and a whole lot that profess it, that it's their culture. As Brother Demlo probably shared after a trip down to Jamaica, it's in their schools. They sing hymns, they hear preaching in public schools. It's just part of their culture, which has done a lot of damage, I believe, in a lot of families in that nation. But a few years ago, we took Taffy and Ian, two of the main men that we work with. We took them over to Oak Harbor for our missions conference. Over there, it was at the end of the season. They were done with all their work, and they had about a week and a half before they were flying back to Jamaica. And so we took them with us over to our missions conference. And while there, on the trip there, or while we were there, I heard one of them talking to someone else in the hotel about picking apples. So on our way home, I asked them, how do you pick apples? How do you work in the harvest? And they spent about a half hour going through how they harvest. And there were so many interesting principles, parallels, that I had them tell me again. And this time I turned my phone on and recorded them. I wish I had the recording still. I lost the recording, but I wrote down the things that they had said. And one of the things that caught my attention, Ian was talking about those that first come and start working, and Ian and Taffy are two of the men that help train anyone that's new that comes up. And he said it takes a lot of practice to pick. It takes a lot of practice to do well. He said, and some catch on quickly, others want to be the very best from the first day. He says, but they want to be the best the first day without learning the first principles. I thought, the first principles? That's interesting. What are the first principles? And so we're going to look at the first principles as it relates to apple picking, but we'll see these also parallel our own work in the commission that God has given to us. And we'll start off this afternoon reading Matthew 6, verses 20 and 21. Matthew 6, 20 and 21. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for the blessing this day has been. I thank you, Father, for the privilege it is to preach your word. The privilege it is to be here with Plack Road this week. And I pray that you bless them. I pray that you bless their, we call it a sacrifice. It really isn't a sacrifice, but the extra time it takes to prepare food, to clean, to neglect maybe work at home, to be here in the evenings. Thank you, Father, for their willingness to do that. And I pray that you bless them for it. I pray that you would tremendously blessed this week in the life of this church. I pray there be a highlight this year. even a highlight in the history of their church, and it's a turning point for them that they would go on to greater and greater things for you. And we thank you, Father, for your sacrifice for us. And Lord, help us, Lord, to truly live for you. And Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. For this passage of Scripture first, we'll come back to it in a little bit. The Jamaicans, they come out to Washington in order to lay up treasures. That's what they want. They're coming up there to work, to make money. They can make more money working in Washington for 6 months than they do down in Jamaica for a year. They can make more money there. And some of them, they're very skilled people. Many of them a lot of them are farmers back in Jamaica. Many of them work in construction. They're electricians, plumbers, IT, work in IT. Many of them, well, there's one man, he's a furniture maker. Give him some wood. He can make the most beautiful furniture, handcrafted, hand-carved tables and chairs and headboards. And you look at it, he says, this here I sold for, you know, 20,000 Jamaican, which is like, what is it here? 200? I can't remember now. It's not a very good price. And I said, brother, those chairs alone would be $400 or $500 here if you made them. But they just can't make money down there in Jamaica. So they come up here to make money. They come up here to work, and they do make money when they want to work hard. When they learn the first principles, they learn how to pick. They do make a lot of money. And as I was talking with Tavi and Ian about these first principles, they said the first principles were safety, accuracy, and speed. Safety, accuracy, and speed. And I'm going to just read you some of the things that they said concerning safety. It says ladders need to be placed safely, depending upon the terrain, the holes, the rocks. If you've ever seen an orchard ladder, it might be 3-4 foot wide on one side. The bottom step, it might go up 12, 14 feet. The top step's about 6 inches. And there's one pole going out the other direction, and that's what they use. I don't like using them. They're unstable, but they'll climb up to the very top rung, be staying on that 6-inch top, be picking things. But they have to be safe, so they have to be careful where you set stuff. So you have to be careful to drink water. And drink lots of water. He says people have almost died out in their fields because they don't want to stop and get water. And they say a lot get hurt because they're watching others, looking at what others are doing. They don't pay attention to how they're setting up their own ladder. And so picking apples, you wouldn't think is dangerous work, but it's pretty dangerous work. Working on uneven ground, a hilly ground, using that ladder, dealing with the chemicals, a lot of chemicals on the trees. They cover up. I mean, they look like they're in hazmat suits, some of them. And they still will have chemical burns on their face and down their back when from the sweat, or if the trees are dripping with dew, they get those chemicals running down their back, and they'll have blisters on their back and on their hands, down their face. Their eyes will swell up from the chemicals that are on the apples. But they're all washed up before you get them. It takes work, it takes skill, it takes caution. And when someone gets hurt, they can miss out on part or all of the harvest. They may not go home. If it's not a serious enough injury, they're stuck in Washington, either working around camp, cleaning toilets, mowing, picking up trash, or they may be out in the harvest spreading plastic. A lot of times under the trees, they'll put this reflective material under the trees, reflect sunlight up to the bottom of the tree so that the bottom fruit ripens faster. And so they may be stuck doing that, which they say that's what the Africans do. There's maybe 20, 30 Africans that work that they say that Africans don't know how to work. All they do is spread plastic and pick up plastic. And sometimes some of the Jamaicans, that's what they're stuck doing. And when they're stuck doing that, they get paid minimum wage. And they are an extra burden upon their crew, both physically and mentally. They're a burden for them. They're a burden for their family. The family knows they're not working. They can't work. They're not sending home the money. And it's a burden for them. And I thought about that. There's times that as we're in the harvest, we're all in the harvest. If you're a church member, you are in the harvest. You may be a burden, both physically and mentally, to those that are working on your crew. They may know that you're supposed to be on the crew, but you're home, you're stuck home, some things have happened spiritually in your life where you're just not available. And things can happen in our life where we can't send home money. We read Matthew 6, verse 20, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. These Jamaicans that get hurt, they can't send money back home. When we aren't careful in the harvest, when we don't pay attention to safety, and we are out of a harvest, we aren't sending money home. We aren't laying up treasures in heaven. These Jamaicans are unhappy. When they're not working, they're unhappy. They're stuck in camp, and they're pretty miserable people. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25, it says, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. When I consider safety in our harvest, Paul was speaking there in 1 Corinthians 9 about this very issue. We're striving for the mastery. We're striving for an incorruptible crown. But he says, I so run. He says, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. We can allow ourselves some things in life that will really hinder us in the work of God. It will draw us down, will drag us down in the work of God. In the harvest that God has called us to, there's a lot of danger. We have an enemy that wants to see us fall. We have an enemy that wants us to get hurt morally, so we cannot take part in the harvest. And when we consider morals, that's how careful we need to be in the days that we live in, just in the area of morality. How it's so easy. We're, right now, I could sit up here and connect with my tablet, connect to the internet, and have stuff here without you guys ever knowing about it. With just one or two things, three things, that you could have so much trash on your phone, on your tablets, on your computers. It's no longer about sneaking into a Circle K or a 7-Eleven or places that used to sell pornography. You don't have to sneak anywhere now, you can just do it on your phone. How careful we have to be if we don't want to be out of the harvest. If we want to be stuck where God will not use us. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. How careful we have to be in this area. Paul says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, and those that are alive, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Our bodies are to be used for His work. Our bodies are to be used for His honor and glory, and we have to be very careful where we place our ladder, so to speak. We have to be very careful about the things that are around us that can harm us. If we want to be in the harvest, if we want to be sending money back home, be sending treasures back home. Paul told Timothy, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Morals is an area of sin we have to be very careful about. Money is another area where it's very easy to allow the love of money to draw us away from the things of God, draw us away from serving God, where we'll follow after a job, follow after the paycheck, and not be willing to be where God wants us to be, making what God wants us to make in order to be fully in the harvest. So money can be a very big hindrance. Paul says that godliness with contentment is great gain. If we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out, but we sure like to think that we can carry things out. It sure seems like it. We want to pile things up. We want to treasure things up. Have our whole mindset on what am I going to do with this next paycheck? I have loved ones that are close to us that they can't figure out that a paycheck that they're blessed with is ought to be used to live on. And whether they have no bills. They have maybe $100 in bills going out every month, but after the end of a two-week pay period where they made $2,000, at the end of that time, their bank account is down at $2.35 every single time. Why? Because there's ammunition to buy. There's guns to buy. There's things to do in your car. There's fishing poles to do. There's all kinds of fun and stuff to do, and I have no responsibilities, and money can be a big hindrance. Paul says, having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And we see Paul dealing with finances there in 2 Corinthians 8. 2 Corinthians 9, we see him setting the example of being careful in the area of money. Another area we need to be careful about is in the area of our attitudes, our malice, hatred, our attitudes towards others in the ministry, especially in the area of team ministry. We're involved in team ministry, and it's easy when you're working with other people that aren't as spiritual as you. Okay, that's how we'll put it. Right, Brother Demlo? Brother Humphrey? People aren't as spiritual as you, aren't as mature as you, it's very easy to have bad attitudes. It's very easy to allow the devil to get in there and say, did you hear the tone that he just had? Did you hear the tone that you think that he just had? What are all the things you could surmise from that? What are all the things that he's probably thinking? Come on, you can think of them. You can think of all the things that he's probably thinking. What's he thinking about you right now? And all sorts of things can come into our minds, and a root of bitterness can spring up and destroy our life. Paul says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, and forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's a hard thing to do when you're working with other people. There is Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, a church greatly used of God to see churches started throughout Asia Minor, where those members who are going out and evangelizing those other towns and God doing great things, bitterness and anger and clamor and evil speaking. Why did Paul have to tell them to put those things away? He didn't say, don't let bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking start. He was saying, stop doing it. Stop allowing this to be a part of that church body there. Why? Because those things are, when you're working with other people, it's very easy to allow those things to take over, and you'll find yourself very soon out of the harvest. In Acts chapter 8, we see a man profess Christ. His name was Simon. He wanted some things. We see that he was a man of power, a man of influence prior to the revival breaking out there where he was at. And so he jumped on the bandwagon. He wanted to be a part of everything that was going on. And as Peter was rebuking him in Acts chapter 8, in verse number 23, verse number 22, he says, repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness. It's easy for us to get into the gall of bitterness, to have that. Be very careful in these different areas of our life. One of the easiest things for the Jamaicans to get hurt at, you'd think it'd be falling off a ladder. Some do that. Some will fall off. Some will break a foot, break a leg. Probably the most common injury is eye injuries from a stick, a branch hitting the eye. Why? because they're looking at other things. They're not paying attention to what's right in front of them. And it's very easy. It's very easy for our eyes to wander, for our eyes to get focused on other things, and we're not paying attention to work that God's called us to do, and we find ourselves injured. So safety is very important. Next thing they talked about was accuracy. They said you need to pick with the plan. You're always thinking about the next apple. When you touch one apple, you need to be thinking about the next apple, the next bin, the next sack. And the ladder placement is key. He says, I can put it in any circumstance. I don't care how big the tree is. I look at it and say I can get this with two or three placements of the ladder. I decide how far I can reach and put the ladder where it needs to go so I won't tip the ladder. I place my ladder as few times to get all the apples. The less you can move the ladder, the better. Remember, the ladder is also weight. You want to move the ladder as few times as possible. It's not efficient. It's more work. You'll tire it quickly. And at the end of the day, you won't have the bins you should have. If you can place the ladder between two trees and pick both trees from one ladder placement, it's better. So when you move on to the next tree, you don't need to put the ladder back into the same place it was when you were on the previous tree, but you can move on. He says, I always start the day off with a game plan. I never start the day without a plan. He says, in cherries, this year, the slowest guy in the field did the best job. He can't pick fast, but he always picks every cherry with the stem. The bucket is full to the top without one leaf in it. Quality. The company said they'd rather have 5 bins of quality apples than 10 bins of apples they can't use. Picking apples is not dragging apples. There is technique and steps. You don't want to finish a tree with every apple pluck, meaning without the stem, because they won't last. Their shelf life is not long. A lot of interesting things in there, considering our harvest that God has called us to, the harvest that God has called you to. And do you pick, when I ask the question, do you pick with accuracy? There's a lot of things that could come under that. Do you pick with accuracy? So many different aspects of evangelism, from location, where are you going, from your methodology, how you deal with souls, how do you disciple someone? Do you pick with accuracy? Consider they talk about placement of the ladder. We consider where you go. I hear a lot of missionaries that talk about where they're going. A lot of men will say, well, God's called me to a place. God's called me to Russia. God's called me to England. God's called me to different places. Now I just need to find a church that'll send me. Now I need to find a home church. Now I need to find a sending church. And they have all these things going on in their mind, and I'm thinking, well, how do you know God wants you to go there? Is that where the Lord of the harvest wants you to go? The Jamaicans, they have someone that is the Lord of the harvest. They don't call them that. The Jamaicans call them the super boss. They are the orchard manager. They travel around from orchard to orchard. They test the fruits, and they determine, I need this many buses in this orchard this week. I need this orchard clean this week. Or I need 3 buses to go over this orchard, and they need to go through, and they need to pick all the cherries off the tops of the trees only. They need to go over this orchard here and pick just the apples off the top of the trees only, nothing else. So there's a super boss that tells the crews where in the harvest they need to go. And I'm thankful that we have a Lord, I won't call the Lord of the harvest the super boss. I'm glad we have a Lord of the harvest that knows all about the harvest, that knows where we need to go, and that directs churches to send men out saying, this is the part of the harvest that we need to go. And that's why it's how important it is for churches to be ready. For there to be men there that when God says, listen, this place here is ripe right now. This field needs to be picked right now. Send men there. Well, okay, well, God, it's going to take us 4 or 5 years probably to do that. Well, in 4 or 5 years, that fruit's going to be on the ground and rotten. How important it is we get our placement right. We consider where does God want us to go. A lot of times people base their burden upon sentiment. And a lot of, you watch a missions video. What does the missions video, tomorrow or Tuesday when you listen to Brother Morrison's video and he's playing People Need the Lord. You're sitting there and you're crying over People Need the Lord, and you're seeing people in Africa starving, or people in Africa dress a certain way, people in Africa involved in certain sins and in bondage of certain sins, and what's it do? It moves your emotions. And people base where they want to go based upon emotions, based upon how they feel because they saw some video, because they saw some plight, or they read some certain statistics, and those same statistics, you could take videos and pictures of North Pole and go somewhere else and show them on the screen, not saying where this is, where it's from. Show pictures and videos from North Pole, Alaska, and get people to shed tears because of the plight of people in North Pole, Alaska. Sentiment is based on your sympathy. And when things get hard, and when hearts get hard, and when that little boy that you looked at the picture and you cried over, when he steals your stuff, when they say one thing and nice behind your back, and when you hear from someone else that they're just, it was all a game, it was all just to get money from you, pretty soon your sentiment, your feelings, your soft heart is going to change, and you're going to want to leave that place. If you go somewhere based upon how you feel, you'll leave that place based upon how you feel. There are times the Jamaicans go out, especially in the dead of in the heat of summer, when it's going to be 100, 110 degrees out, and they give them warning. They're not supposed to work after it gets about 89 degrees, which means they have to be in the field as soon as they can see a cherry, or as soon as they can see an apple, they're there. So if it gets light at 4 in the morning, and if it's a 2-hour bus ride to that orchard, they're leaving at 1 o'clock in the morning to be there with their ladders out in the orchard as soon as they can see an apple to pick. And they have to stop working when it gets 89 degrees. When it's those temperatures, they don't want to go. They don't feel like going out in a certain place. They don't feel like picking a certain apple. Some apples, they can just pick and go fast. And the bins that they pick, they're about 40 inches tall. They hold about 1,500 pounds of apples. On average, if they're picking fast, they'll pick from 10 to 18 bins a day. Pick a lot of apples. Do they feel like doing that? No. Well, that's where the super boss said to go. That's what the super boss said, they need to pick these certain apples. And some apples they don't want to pick because they actually can't pick them. They have little scissors that they have to clip every one. Because if they just pull them, the stems will pull out. And some of them they have to pull off, and then they have to take scissors and snip the stems anyways. They don't like doing those apples. Why? Because they can't get as many bins. If we go just where we have our hearts stirred, we'll leave when our hearts aren't stirred anymore. Our sentiment is based upon our senses. When we see and hear, you know, what we see and hear can change. What was once a great opportunity may be obscured by the devil's fighting. Maybe obscured by the devil working, and we no longer think, well, God must not want us to be here anymore because the opportunity just doesn't seem so plentiful. Well, maybe it's just exactly where God wants you to be. Well, all the doors are closing. Well, what did Jesus say? The gates of hell shall not prevail against you. A gate is to keep something out. Okay, the devil doesn't want you everywhere. So guess what? The devil is going to close as many doors as he can. So if you base where you put your ladder on how you feel or what the opportunities are, you'll find a lot of doors closing. You'll not want to go there. Our sentiment will fail. Peter had pretty good sentiment when he said, Lord, if everyone else forsakes you, I will not forsake you. But guess what? Circumstances changed. And before the cock crowed three times, he denied his Lord. John Mark, his sentiment failed him. When they came to Perga and Pamphylia, said that John departed from them and returned to Jerusalem. He had good intentions, and later on, God still worked in his life, God brought him back, but he had good intentions, but his sentiment failed him. We don't base where we go upon sentiment, we base where we go upon the Holy Spirit working through the Scriptures. We have the Word of God. The church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. That's where we base where we go and what we're doing. We look to the Word of God, the Holy Spirit leading through the Word of God and speaking through the pastors of a church to lead and guide a church. Where in the harvest to go. In Acts 13, verses 1 through 4, very common passage of scripture we turn to many times, but God spoke to the church, and then the church sent them in. In Acts 13, 1 through 4, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, and we give the names of those. It says, and as they ministered to the Lord, so all these men, they're serving the Lord there in Antioch, and they're fasting and praying. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. God spoke to the church, and the church sent them out into the harvest. We know God's clear direction from the Word of God. When things change and times get hard, the job still gets done. You stick with it. You're still there. Was Ananias, was his sentiment when God said, Ananias, I want you to go and you're going to find a man named Saul. And he's Saul? I mean the murderer? The guy that hates Christians? Was he all excited about the work that God called him to do? No. But did it matter? No, because he knew God's word said go there. And his sentiment, even though his sentiment was against that, he still obeyed and went. Paul fulfilled God's work in turn over to Acts 16. Acts chapter 16. In verse number 6, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. After he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Why didn't Paul try to go into Macedonia first? That's not where he wanted to go. He wanted to go into Asia. His heart was to go somewhere else, and the Spirit said, nope, you're going to go here. But as soon as he understood where God wanted him to go, what did they do? Immediately, we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Sentiment will not keep you from doing what God calls you to do. In Acts chapter 10, you have the account of Peter. Was Peter all that thrilled about going to Simon? Going to Cornelius. He wasn't all that keen on it. He wasn't all that happy about the situation, but when he understood that God says, go, Peter fulfilled God's work in spite of his sentiment. We hear people all the time say, you ask them, why are you in such and such a city? Why are you in that town? Well, I just saw a need. I saw a need in that town. And their mindset is, so often, God's called me to this town of 500, let's say. So, well, why? Well, there was such a need. So there wasn't a need in the town of 50,000, 10 miles from there. There wasn't a need in the town of 500,000, an hour from there. There's not a need there, but there's a need in that town of 500. Or in that town of 500, I'd much rather labor in Wenatchee than in Seattle. I'd much rather labor in Wenatchee than in Portland, Oregon. Why? Because Wenatchee is a whole lot better. The landscape, the people, the culture, how much things cost, the amount of people. But because it's prettier and nicer and less rain, that didn't determine that that's where we're supposed to go. If God called us to Seattle, we'd go to Seattle. If God wanted us to be in Portland, we'd be in Portland. So it's not just seeing a need. There's a need everywhere. Jesus told the disciples in John 4 that the fields are white all ready to harvest. So where does Taffy and Ian, where do they pick to pick? They don't. The super boss, picks where they go. The Super Bowl boss tells them when to harvest the field, when to go and pick the tops of the trees, when to go and harvest everything, when to pick them clean. And we have a Lord of the Harvest that tells us what to do. And we're so often influenced by Baptist tradition about what we're doing, how we're doing things, where we're to go. Baptist tradition determines everything instead of the Word of God. Teffy goes on and says, we must pick patiently. He says, don't pick off all the bottoms to make a quick move on a bin. You'll always need to come back to get the tops. You can clean the tree. If you clean the tree on the first run, you'll move along more efficiently. Those picking the bottoms will find themselves frustrated because they can't leave one apple. They must come back and pick the tops. If you can imagine, those of you who are there, you can know the orchards, but there's just miles and miles and miles and miles of orchards. And in a particular core of orchards, each person will have their row. It might be 50 trees long, and that's their row. They're to pick that row. And when he says that some of them will move quickly, they're impatient, and they want to just fill up a bin quickly, so they'll go and they'll just not use their ladder, and just go and they'll pick everything off the bottoms, and they'll go out the full 50 trees, uphill, back downhill. They'll just pick off the bottom so they can quickly fill up their bin. But he says they get frustrated quickly because then they have to then go back over the same ground carrying the ladder. And they can't leave one apple behind. You know, our country has, you know, no children left behind. The orchards have no apple left behind. They pick everything. They pick every single apple. You can't leave any behind. So you get frustrated. He says you have to be patient. You have to be patient and working. And you know, there are times that church planters will go into a town and they'll pick off the bottoms. And they will send home in their missions letters describing how much they've been picking. And they've been picking off the bottoms, so to speak. You know, there are certain groups of people where you can get results. Certain age groups where you can might see more results, at least as far as men's eyes are concerned. And it's easy to get in there and just want to do all the easy stuff. But we can't leave anyone behind. We can't go into a place and just evangelize certain people that we think that those are going to be the easy ones. You know, I don't know how it is here. There are certain groups in Wenatchee that are easier to talk to. There are certain groups, whether low income or middle income or high income. There are certain groups where you know when you're out in the streets, you're talking to them, you can look at them and see what they're dressed in, how well they're dressed, and know they're not going to listen to me. Or here's someone else that is dressed completely differently, looks completely different, and you say, you know what, they'll probably listen to me. They both need the gospel. They both need to understand their condition before God. They both need the opportunity to reject it or accept it. But it's easy to go in and just try to pick off the bottoms. The third thing they spoke about was speed. Taffy said to increase speed, you need to know how to pick and hold 3 to 4 apples in your hand, how to place them in the sack, how to unload the sack into the bin. He says you have to have a plan. When you pick one apple, you have to have a plan on how to pick the next 2 apples you're looking at. Ian said it does take practice. There are some who catch on quickly and others that want to be the best the first day without learning the first principles. They fall off the ladder and get hurt or don't stop to get water and almost die out there. Why? Because they're watching others fill up bins. Isn't that easy for us to do? We look at others filling up bins and we get frustrated that, well, why are they seeing so much success? Why is their church growing so much faster? Why is that happening? Well, you don't know what's in their row. Taffy and Ian said, yeah, you know, they might be filling up bins because they're picking at the bottom, or they might just have a row of trees that are just loaded with apples, and that's ready to be picked, and so that's blessed. He said, but that same person that's in that row that's full of apples, if they're not being safe, if they're not being accurate, he said, I can have a row that has less apples, but I'll pick more bins than they will, because I'm being safe, I'm being accurate, and I'm working with speed. He says, I don't have time to watch others fill up bins. He says, keep an eye on your own stuff. Don't worry about others. I need to worry about my own work. So many of us, we like to worry about others, like to see what others are doing, see how others are progressing, see how others are, their ministries that we think are flourishing. We read their letters and we say, well, why are they getting so many bins filled up? Well, maybe their bins are half full of leaves. Maybe their bins are half full of apples that are what the Jamaicans call pluck, without the stems. Apples without the stems rot. And how many times do we have people in our ministries, people that we know of, that they were picked or they were dragged? He said earlier, I read that picking is not dragging. Just grabbing apples and getting them into your bag. There's a lot of people that are dragged into the bag, and they're dragged without the stem, and they soon rot. They don't stick around, and they start many times rotting others around them. They need to be very careful. He says, they said it takes diligence. Teffy said, I know my body, my weight, my reach. I use that knowledge to work. I know the weight of the apples in the sack so I don't overreach when too heavy. I have my target. I know by lunch I need to have 5 bins picked so I end up with 10 bins at the end of the day. And Ian says he knows he can pick 10 to 11 bins of that particular apple. Maybe I can only get 6 or 7 bins. So I might aim for 3 bins by lunch and the other 4 after lunch. And maybe he's fast, but maybe I have a better line of apples. So I get more bins done in a day because he doesn't have the number of apples that I have. And Taffy says, but if you have someone there with a better row, but he doesn't know how to place his ladder, I can pick 5 bins before he picks 2. I wish I could read you the dialogue. Those that were around the Jamaicans, how heated they get. You think they're going to get in a fist fight, but they're just talking about coffee. They're just talking about whatever. When they're talking about picking apples, and they get heated. They love talking about how much better they are picking apples than the Mexicans. when the Jamaicans first got there, that first year, I think it was 2010, in the camp where they live in, there's also close to 1,500 Mexicans in that same camp. And the sheriff's department was there all the time because of fighting. The Mexicans thought, well, you guys are coming in, the orchard's bringing these Jamaicans in order to get rid of us. And so there's always been a rivalry between them. There haven't been any riots lately. The last couple of years, they figured out they do things differently, pick differently. But the Jamaicans pride themselves that they can pick faster than the Mexicans. They all pick faster than me. I could look around and see men that are in the ministry that are picking faster than me. I can look around at others and see that they're not picking as fast as me. Now, the reason why they might not be picking as fast or maybe picking faster, there's reasons that I don't see. I don't see the trees that they're picking in. I don't see the people that they're working with. I don't see the hardness of hearts. I don't see the tragedy in lives that may make those people more prone to receiving the gospel. I don't see all those things, but I don't need to see those things. If God's put me in this particular part of the harvest, this particular orchard, has given me this certain row of trees to pick, my job is to pick that row of trees. With accuracy, with safety, and with the speed that I can do. Brother Lambert has back issues. If you put someone in an old chick that has no back issues, that's 20 years younger, you can look at that person working and might say, oh, they're doing a whole lot more work. But what's the quality like? How accurate is the evangelism? How accurate is the discipleship? We need to be very careful in the harvest that we're in, whether here in North Pole, whether in the Middle East, in Canada, wherever God sends you, we're in the harvest. The field is the world. And the Lord of harvest directs us where we're to go. He knows what needs to be harvested. Sometimes, so like, God sent me to this town. I'm in this town of 250, and bless God, I'm going to stay here until I see a church planted. And they're there for 20 years, and they have their family and one old lady and a boy that they bring to church, a neighbor boy that they bring to church. Well, that may be a town that God just wanted him to go through thin. Not picking anything, we're just going through and thinning right now. You're just going to go through right now and you're just going to lay plastic down right now. You're just going through right now and just going to do some pruning. It's not ready to pick yet. The Lord of the harvest knows when to send people to their pick. I'm just saying you're there now. You're just going to be there for 2 months and you're going to be out of there. That's what we see Paul doing and his teams. They went to towns and there are towns that they shook the dust off from and towns that they stayed a long time. What he stayed in Ephesus for so long and Corinth for a certain time and other places for just days. Because the Lord of the harvest had a plan, and Paul was listening to the Lord of the harvest, understood that his plan for this town right now is just a quick stop. I'm going to water, I'm going to plant, but someone else is going to come along later and do the harvest. And they that sow, and they that harvest, they that reap, rejoice together. Amen? So let's not be stuck in under, let's just trust the Lord of the harvest. When he sends us somewhere, it may just be to prune. It may be just to lay down plastic. It may be just to pick off the tops. Maybe just to pick off the bottoms. And maybe to go in there and just clean it. And you're filling your bins fast. But wherever you're at, when the Lord of the Harvest sends, when the super boss sends the Jamaicans in to a block of trees, he knows what he's sending them to do. He knows he's sending them in there just to pick the tops, just to lay down the plastic, just to prune. He knows that, and he's pleased when they go in there and they get the job done. And when they get the job done, they get a paycheck. And when God sends you into the harvest, he knows what needs to be done. So trust him, do what God's called you to do, and trust. Wouldn't it be great when you hear, well done, a good and faithful servant. The Lord of the harvest knows the orchards. The super boss with the Jamaicans, he knows the orchards. He knows every block of land. They have every block of land computerized. They know how many apples are picked out of every block of land. They know how much money is spent in every single block of orchard. They know how many men worked in that orchard. They know the times they worked there, how many hours they worked there, how many bins of apples they pulled out of there. And they know how many, once those bins went to the place, how many of those apples had to be thrown away. They know all those numbers. Why? Because they're the super boss. Do the Jamaicans know all those things? No. They just know that I'm supposed to be there at 3 o'clock tomorrow morning, and I'm going to pick as many bins as I can safely and accurately, and at the end of the week, I'm going to get paid. And we have a greater super boss. Amen? Amen. We have the Lord of Harvest. Let them well.